He went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and among his relatives, and in his own household." And he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto us from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In life, we get to know those who are around us. Over time, we become more familiar with our family members, our classmates, our friends, our co-workers. We learn about each other's capabilities, our strengths, and our weaknesses. We remember each other's antics and failures. We all find our own positions and niches in society and in our social circles. After a while, we get to know each other to the point that we know how we will react in different situations. We know what to expect from one another, and we have a sense of who we are and where we belong. Everyone has their own place. Some people have authority and others do not. Some people lead and others follow. Some people teach and some people learn. When someone acts a little bit too uppity or arrogant, there is usually someone around who will either kindly or rudely take it upon himself or herself to put that person back into their place. The residents of Nazareth thought that they knew Jesus. They knew him ever since the family had returned from being in Egypt. They knew the family because in the culture of that time, people were not as mobile as they are today, and many of the people in the small village of Nazareth were related, either by blood or by marriage. Jesus knew them, and they knew Jesus, or so they thought. The Nazarenes knew Jesus, the son of Mary and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon. The people of Nazareth knew Jesus, the carpenter, who with his father and brothers had patched the roofs of their homes, had worked on the masonry of their courtyards, and had assembled and repaired some of the furniture and household objects that they had in their own homes. Jesus was a son, a brother, a mere carpenter. Nothing less, nothing more. That was his place. But Jesus had gone away from Nazareth for a short while, and now he had returned with his 12 disciples. While away, he was baptized and had voluntarily taken on the task that his heavenly Father had given him from before the foundation of the world. Jesus returns to Nazareth, and he does not pick up where he left. He does not return to take his place. Jesus does not come back to pick up his hammer and trowel. Jesus comes, and he comes to fulfill his ministry, to teach and lead people to repentance. Jesus comes back with a new kind of work, a new kind of place in that community and in the world. His task is no longer that of a carpenter, the son of Mary, but that of the Christ, the Word made flesh, the Son of God, who comes to call people to repentance and faith. Jesus' task, which was given to him by our Heavenly Father, was to build up his church by teaching. And he begins to teach among his own in the local synagogue, the same synagogue where he had attended all of his life. But this is simply too much for the Nazarenes. Yes, maybe they were astonished at his teaching, But that's not Jesus' place. To them, he is supposed to be no more than a carpenter's son, just a common, regular Joe, common day laborer, just like them. This change is simply too much. To them, Jesus is acting and being uppity. And as our text says, they took offense. In our day, we would certainly be surprised if something like this were to happen among us today. Think about all of the common people we meet in our daily lives. The Cox cable guy who makes sure that your TV works okay. The workers at the checkout counter at Walmart. The waiter at Red Lobster. They do not have the education or the familial or social connections that make them worthy of exceptional or higher respect. These people all have their place. We have our expectations of what to get from them. That's how it works. Now just imagine if one of these common workers were to take it upon themselves to speak at a rally or a leadership conference like what we had in Norman just this week. Or what if they would decide on a whim to run for public office? Yes, for a short while we might be intrigued and in typical American fashion root for the underdog. And maybe they would have some interesting ideas and things to say. But there would not be just a few amount of people who would take offense at this. These commoners do not have the experience or the track record to be making decisions for our communities or to give us leadership advice. No, they have their place. The Cox guy makes sure my cable works. The Walmart cashier checks out my groceries. And the waiter at Red Lobster refills my drinks, brings me the buttery biscuits, and brings me the grilled tilapia. They're regular Joes, just like many of us. They have their place. Yes, Jesus was a carpenter. Yes, Jesus was the son of Mary. Yes, Jesus was a man from Nazareth. But he is also the promised Messiah. He is also the only begotten Son of God from all eternity. He was the ultimate prophet, priest, and king, the savior and redeemer of the world. He was the God-man, both divine and human. The union of the divine and human in one person in Jesus Christ, which we confess in our creeds, is a profound mystery. The words that Jesus says and the works that he does are at the same time words and works of both God and man. As such, it is little surprise then that his words and his works can bring people both to astonishment and cause them to take offense. Jesus' words and works can appear so common, yet they are still so divine. In our gospel reading for today, we do not simply learn about Jesus' ministry and his work and word, but we learn about Jesus' disciples, their words, and their work, which Jesus gives to them. Mark writes, "And he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you, and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them." The disciples are sent out with Jesus' own words, his message, and his authority. And just as Jesus encountered difficulty and rejection in his hometown among his own, so too will his own disciples. The disciples were no supermen. They were not high priests or well-learned rabbis or respected and feared political leaders of the day. No, you would go to these men if you wanted to buy a fish or pay your taxes. The disciples were commoners. They had their place. And Jesus calls them to follow him and to become fishers of men. They are entrusted with Jesus' word and his works of calling all to repentance. God used common human flesh in the incarnation for the world's redemption in Jesus Christ. And he used common flesh and blood disciples, mere men, to share his word and continue his work among the faithful. Jesus' promise and his saving words and works are still valid for us today. In the last chapter of Matthew, in the Great Commission, Jesus promises that he will always be with his disciples, where they teach and baptize. He is with us through the body of Christ, the church, and through the holy ministry. He is with us through the preaching of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. He is with us in the sacraments of holy baptism and the Lord's Supper. He is with us as we meditate upon and study his holy word, the Holy Scriptures. Common words, common water, common wine, common bread, common men, common people, through which and through whom our Lord works the miraculous and the divine. It is interesting that in our church, the synod, when the seminaries send men out into the ministry to congregations, they do what they call gather and scatter. That is, they gather all of these men to study in this one place, and then they scatter them around. No one is ever sent back to their home congregations. That is because the men would be too well known in their hometowns. They would still be the son or brother of so-and-so. They would still be remembered as the kid who did or said this and that so many years ago. They are too common in that place, and for that reason, their person and message could too easily be rejected and despised. Our Lord says, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household." If I were to return back to Sullivan, Wisconsin, I would still always be Jake Goggard, the son of Bill and Jean, the owners of the gas station, who spent his high school years making pizzas, cleaning the coolers, and washing the toilets. I am a common man, and if I had not been called to study for the holy ministry, it is likely that today I would be the guy who had studied gardening or just continued on with it, and would be the guy who would mow your lawn or care for your koi pond or something like that. Pastor Nairns has himself told me about the practical experience he gained chipping paint, climbing ladders, and painting homes with his father and the rest of his family. All of us are common in our own way. But our commonality is not simply expressed in our training or in our vocations, but primarily in our common humanity, with both our strengths and weaknesses and our sins. None of us is perfect, and that is why Christ's call to repentance is a call to repentance, first of all, to his disciples and to everyone else. Christ's call to repentance is especially valid for those who serve as pastors and leaders in churches in the holy ministry. I am sure that over the course of this past year, you have noticed that I have my own faults and weaknesses. You have had over 20 years to observe your own faithful pastor. Today, God uses the imperfect and the common things of this world to work his divine protection, his divine work in, through, and among us. Our Lord's words to Paul, "My power is made perfect in weakness," applies to us. The mystery of the union of divine and human in Christ continues among us in the church today. The words that are preached from this pulpit and read from the lectern may be in common English from the lips of common men, but the Holy Spirit works through those words to work the divine. The hands that baptize at the font and distribute the Lord's body and blood at this altar are common flesh and blood, but they are the means by which our Lord shares with and distributes his life-giving victory, which he won on the cross to pay for our sins. And our Lord chooses to work through these common means, knowing full well that we can so easily despise them. He knows that we will be tempted to unbelief because these things and the men who give them out are far too common. But our Lord uses them because of his love and his mercy, his humility. He wants to be here with us personally in an accessible manner to share his life and his love with us. Our text says that our Lord marveled at the unbelief of the Nazarenes. But we are the ones who really should be marveling at the fact that Almighty God so freely humbles himself and comes to us in such an accessible way. May we always treasure the gift of faith that God gives us and always respect and pray for those in the church around us, especially those in the holy ministry. May our Lord always give us the eyes of faith to always trust in his gospel and the way he chooses to share it with us. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in faith through Christ Jesus. Amen.